Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on the therapeutic movement. I need therapy myself just about every day, but I haven't paid any money for it, and I find all sorts of help in the writings of not only the scriptures. You know, we can find all sorts of help that isn't going to cost us very much, and I do consider myself a pupil sitting at the feet of many great teachers. And one of my great teachers is François de la Motte Fenelon, who lived in the 17th century, and he has such down-to-earth common sense. He says, among other things, and I have tried to memorize this little paragraph because I need it so often, accustom yourself to unreasonableness and injustice. Abide in peace in the presence of God, who sees all these evils more clearly than you do, and who permits them. And who permits them. Be content with doing with calmness the little which depends upon yourself, and let all else be to you as if it were not. And that fits in with another little lesson that the Lord has been reminding me of. Very few things in my life are my business. Very few things are my business. The Lord just keeps reminding me, you stick to your business. Don't mind anybody else's. Well, we're living in a culture in which the therapeutic movement has become another gospel. Psychology has tremendous appeal to both Christians and non-Christians. And the appeal is basically a religious one. Kirk Kilpatrick, whose book Psychological Seduction I read a number of years ago, and I'm glad to be reviewing it again, he is a professor of psychology at Boston College. And he says the appeal psychology has for both Christians and non-Christians is a complex one, but it is difficult to make sense of it at all unless you understand that it is basically a religious appeal. For the truth is, psychology bears a surface resemblance to Christianity. Not doctrinal Christianity, of course. Most psychologists are hostile to that. And naturally enough, so are non-Christians. Nevertheless, there is a certain Christian tone to what psychology says and does. Echoes of loving your neighbor as yourself, the promise of being made whole, avoidance of judging others. Those ideas are appealing to most people, no matter what their faith. But like most counterfeits, popular psychology does not deliver on its promises. Instead, it leads both Christians and non-Christians away from duty or proper conduct. It is a seduction in the true sense of the word. Christianity is more than psychology. It happens to be better psychology than psychology is. Now remember, this is a Christian psychologist talking. The important thing, he says, as he was studying in graduate school and had begun to lose interest in the Christian faith, he said, as far as I could see, there was no essential difference between psychology and Christianity. I had been reading the most liberal theologians, that is to say, the most psychologized ones, and from what I could gather, the important thing in religion was not Bible or creed, but simply loving other people. I thought I could swing that easily enough without the help of church or prayers. Such practices, I assumed, were intended for those who hadn't attained awareness. Psychology, in addition, had interesting explanations for almost every type of human behavior, and I had no reason to doubt its version. Erich Fromm said that to love others, you first have to love yourself. Didn't that square with what Jesus taught? Certainly made wonderful sense to me. Like most other 22-year-olds, I thoroughly loved myself. My newfound Bible was psychologist Carl Rogers's On Becoming a Person. In it, Rogers gently suggested that humans are at heart good and decent creatures with no more natural disposition toward hatred than a rosebud. I looked within and found no hate. There were no bad people, I concluded, only bad environments. Am I ringing any bells out there? Have you heard any statements which he quotes from secular psychologists that you've heard perhaps from a pulpit or from the couch of your psychiatrist? You have to learn to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Are we at heart good and decent creatures? Are there no bad people, only bad environments? Back to our outline, we need to recognize the sufficiency of Christ, grace, and Scripture. We got through Christ and grace yesterday very briefly, and Scripture. The conflict, says Mahaney, isn't over the inspiration of Scripture or the inerrancy, but the sufficiency of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that the Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction and correction in righteousness. Jesus Christ does not merely give better answers to psychological questions. He gives the only answers to questions that psychology does not even ask, much less answer. And that, again, is from the book by Matsat, Power, Religion. The greatest need in the church today is that people are starving for God. Presumably, they go to church because of some sense, however vague, that they need God. But what do they find? Sunday school teachers who talk about becoming whole persons, learning to care, working on accepting myself, hymn books which have been purged of, quote, exclusive language, unquote, preachers who emphasize personal mastery, success, positive or possibility thinking, the cure for disease, even a Cadillac instead of your Volkswagen. C.S. Lewis called it Christianity and. The goals of psychology are adjustment, coping, harmony, fulfillment, self-confidence, improved relationships. Now let me pause a moment and ask you, whatever your problem may be, have you been telling yourself that what you really need is adjustment, coping, harmony, fulfillment, self-confidence, improved relationships? I'm here to say to you today, the Bible contains the answers to every single one of those things. It's there in God's Word, written thousands of years ago, absolutely relevant today. C.S. Lewis said, all that is not eternal is eternally out of date. All that is not eternal is eternally out of date. And when we ransack the Scriptures and saturate our minds and our hearts in God's Word, we are saturating our minds and hearts with something which is eternal. Modern psychology focuses on personal problems rather than on God. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. That was the verse that I gave to a woman who called me the other day and described what she had done, which was certainly not something that God had told her to do, but she had done it because she felt a need in her life that was not being met. And so this was the source to which she went for meeting that need. Well, you can't disobey God and look elsewhere for the meeting of your needs and expect to find them and to find happiness, because there is only one spring. Do you remember the story in the Narnia books where I think it's Lucy is trying to reach a certain spring, and she finds Aslan, the lion, in the way? And very politely, she asks him if he would mind moving for a moment so that she could get to the spring. And in his quiet, wise, loving way, Aslan looks at the little girl, and he says, "There is no other spring. Let's not forsake God, the spring of living water, and dig our own cisterns. They are, God says, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." A.W. Tozer says the church has surrendered her once lofty concept of God and has substituted for it one so low, so ignoble, as to be utterly unworthy of thinking, worshiping men. This she has done not deliberately, but little by little, and without her knowledge, and her very unawareness only makes her situation all the more tragic. This low view of God, entertained almost universally among Christians, is the cause of 100 lesser evils everywhere among us. A whole new philosophy of the Christian life has resulted from this one basic error in our religious thinking.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.